It up, keep it on. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Yes, Colonial is underway, and our old golf buddy David Faraday from CBS Golf stops by. Be in studio with us here in about 20 minutes. First, it's Gordo's Corner, brought to us by the Snoring Center and Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
George, it's your favorite subject, suicidal adult babies.
Never talked about it before.
That phrase has never come up.
Nope.
Hmm.
Must be somebody else you're thinking of.
Well, I have Twitter tweeted the link to this video. It aired on National Geographic. We've talked about it, I think, a little bit before. It aired on that show Taboo on the National Geographic channel.
These are the idiots that act like they're babies.
Why are you calling them idiots?
Because if you're an adult and you want to have your diaper changed and you're not for non-medical reasons, just Jeez. For like, to, so you can get off on it, then something's wrong with you.
Why do you think that there's something wrong with that? Different strokes, man.
That's true, but that's just weird. I'm sorry. So is horsey play. That's weird, too.
I don't know what's more disturbing, the guy in the crib or his caretaker.
It's both wrong.
The weird thing about the guy is he looks just like me.
Does he really?
Yes. You look from, like, not the mouth. But like from the eyes and that the ridiculous Cro-Magnon forehead that I have due to an abundance of testosterone, I'm basically a caveman.
Look at how she is treating him.
Isn't it wonderful?
He's got a bottle, he's in pajamas, he's in a crib.
And he weighs 350 pounds.
And this is a serious problem he has. It's not a bit.
I don't think he thinks it's a problem. No, this is just his choice in life.
It's what he does for fun.
All right, now we're talking about the story of 30-year-old Stanley Thornton, and his roommate is Sandra Diaz, who is an older woman who acts as his mother. And this story pits them against Senator Tom Coburn from Oklahoma. He has asked the Social Security Administration to investigate why Stanley Thornton and his fake mommy, why they are collecting Social Security. Because on the show Taboo, it shows Stanley Thornton building a crib for himself and building a high chair that is large enough to support his ample frame.
This is unbelievable. He's on the floor playing with toys. He's sitting in a crib, and his mommy is spoon-feeding him.
And she weighs 1,000 pounds.
She's reading books to him.
He's an adult baby, George.
So he doesn't have a job, obviously.
No.
He just takes Social Security.
Right. And Senator Tom Coburn wrote, the guy who administers the supplemental Social Security income, and said, given that Mr. Thornton is able to determine what is appropriate attire and actions in public, because he'll go out dressed as an adult when he goes in public because he doesn't want to be embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
and he's able to drive himself to complete errands, design and custom make baby furniture to support a 350-pound adult and run an internet support group, it's possible that he has been improperly collecting disability benefits for that period of time.
He needs to go see the psychiatrist on the Geico commercial.
You know the jackwagon guy?
Yeah. You know what makes me sad?
You do!
You jackwagon!
Stop doing this!
So, the Washington Times...
Boy, that does look like you 10 years from now and 50 pounds.
Would you stop it? 50 pounds?
100.
Jerk. In an email response to the Washington Times, Stanley Thornton, the adult baby, which that still sends me into hypnosis every time I say it, the adult baby, threatened to kill himself if his Social Security payments are taken away. His quote was,
"You want to test how damn serious I am about leaving this world? Screw with my check that pays for this apartment and food. Try it. See how serious I am. I don't care. I have no problem killing myself. Take away the last thing keeping me here and see what happens. Next time you see me on the news, it will be me in a body bag."
Well, you know what? We're looking at you in a pacifier plane with army men, so what's the difference?
What do you mean, what's the difference?
Okay, one is not breathing, I guess. That would be a slight difference. Social Security is paying for this nonsense?
Yes. He's so an adult baby.
Can
he
look
can't
out
work.
The corner of his eye as, he can't work. He can play Dolly.
And he messes his diapers, and she changes his diapers.
Good Lord.
Okay,
what's wrong with her?
He won't commit suicide.
No, he's too much of a baby.
He can't even get out of bed by himself.
That's an underrated line there. He sounds pretty serious about it.
Oh, what? Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. So that's all I have to do is threaten the Social Security Administration that I'll kill myself if they don't give me money, and they'll respond to this blackmail?
Well, they wouldn't have to pay him then.
He's a white male, by the way, I should mention.
When they hear that threat, don't they look at each other at the Social Security Bureau and say,
win-win?
So?
What? That's Fernando.
Well, they don't have to pay him.
That's a threat?
Winning.
Can't you do better than that?
How could you support infanticide like this?
Once some 60-year-old in the Social Security office takes a look at this video, he's going to go, okay.
You don't think the greatest generation can identify with this?
Oh, my. Yeah, please make it a World War II vet that looks at this video and has the decision-making on whether he deserves Social Security.
I crawled through crap in Belgium fighting the Germans.
So this idiot who weighs 350 can sleep in a crib, have a playpen, and a pacifier. What a jack wagon.
Oh, how I wish your dad was alive to comment on this video.
It would short-circuit him. There's no way my dad ever even saw anything like this. He cannot I can't comprehend it. There's no way he could have.
Sergeant Richard Dunham?
Colonel.
Colonel Richard Dunham?
Yeah, jackwagon?
You think he would jackwagon this guy?
Oh, my gosh.
All right, but what if we sat Colonel Dunham down and said, just please have an open mind while you watch this?
He'd turn it off in 2 seconds.
We want you to watch this on YouTube. His first question would be, what the hell is YouTube?
Does it say how long this guy has been a baby?
Yeah, he says that he has been living at least as a partial adult baby, in the partial adult baby lifestyle since his teenage years.
Wow. So he doesn't have a girlfriend, right?
No, he has a mommy. He says that he has worked as a security guard for a year and a half, but trauma stemming from childhood abuse combined with other mental problems made it impossible for him to hold down the job. So he had to leave the security guard thing, and that's when he started taking these Social Security payments, and he's been on that for the past 10 years.
What an intimidating security guard he must have made.
Yeah, did he take his pacifier out before he yelled at someone?
No, he had kept that in his holster. Big pacifier in his holster.
What a mind bender that is to look at that thing.
Mind bender? I don't think... I really... Honestly, it's not that weird to me.
Shut up. It is, too. It's weird to everybody outside of this.
Do you like that shot of him laying on his floor with his crib back behind him, and he's playing with his army men as he's laying on his belly and wearing his adult diaper, and I think he's shirtless, or I can't remember whether he's shirtless or not. Dressed like a big old baby Huey, or who was that baby always in the
baby Huey?
Looney Tunes.
Was he Looney Tunes or Hanna-Barbera?
How can he live like that?
See, I think it's a comforting way for him to live, because he's a baby again, surrounded by motherly love and warm milk.
I mean, this has even got to be weird for somebody like Faraday.
Faraday had to come in here and look at it.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
The adult baby. Yeah, Faraday showed up in an adult diaper.
Okay, there he is. Doesn't he look like Gordo? And there's his mama.
See, from here up. Look at this. Look at this. From here up, his...
He looks like Gordon, doesn't he?
How does that crib hold him?
Well, he made it himself. He went to Home Depot and got some 4x4 and some 2-inch plywood.
Yeah, and when the guy in the orange vest asked him, what kind of project are you working on? Oh, nothing.
Nothing.
Just,
you go, David. Check that out.
Making a playpen.
Look at him taking a bottle and look at how the mother's treating him.
We ought to listen to something.
Is this what you and Lundquist do on the road?
Oh, that is so wrong.
All right, we're going to listen to some of this here, Jer. Pull
your
up the
wife, have you ever smelt anything like that?
Yeah, can you imagine the cow manure that he dumps into that diaper?
Oh, my gosh.
That guy's 300 pounds.
Yeah.
All right, we'll listen to some of it.
Time to get up.
We're waking him up.
He's in his crib in footed jammies.
Wakey, wakey.
I like to play or be treated as a baby.
Hi, puppy.
Just to get the love and affection, safeness. Basically, just go back to a time where you're caring for a 1 or 2 year old, and that's what it is for me.
Okay.
29-year-old Stanley Thornton spends around half his life pretending to be an infant. He calls himself an adult baby.
Oh. With being a doll baby, I've had a couple different reactions, some good, some not so good.
He's holding his bottle.
I've had some people that are perfectly fine with it, and I've had others that are just angry, like they think that it's an automatic, that you're a pedophile because you're into it.
Stanley shares a house with former nurse Sandra Diaz. She's not Stanley's mom.
Meanwhile, her
she is a house.
Her boobs are as big as new Beatles. I mean, they look like Volkswagens sagging off her chest.
But is happy to play that role.
Maybe he's breastfeeding.
I love him like he's my favorite nephew.
No, he's bottle fed.
He's like my family member who lost his mother, and it's like I'm the aunt stepping in saying it's okay, I'm still here for you.
To step into Stanley and Sandra's modest
home. This is where he's laying on the floor playing with Legos. Yeah, and they've got the diaper genie back behind him where they put his diapers in and everything.
They better get a fantasy world.
Now he's in his pack and play.
Where a grown man plays with Legos. Sucks on a pacifier.
Yeah, and then he's playing army men with a pacifier.
Is spoon fed.
Now she's spoon feeding him his strange
uses
peas.
Baby talk, and even wears a diaper. It's a life of make believe that many would consider taboo.
Now he's laying in her lap, and she's reading him a bedtime book that says nursery rhymes on it.
Yeah, where do they live? Does it say?
It doesn't say where they live.
Are you allowed to slap children where they live? It would be my question also.
I dare you to run this on CBS this weekend.
Oh.
Was just kind of a lull in the action.
Hello, friends.
Yeah, just bring up adult babies. Just kind of get, just say you want to get everyone's take on it.
Hey, Jim, watch this.
I'm trying to think of a logical segue for that.
He's speechless.
Yeah. Well, what's the weirdest fetish you've ever known someone to have?
That's pretty close, I'd have to say. I mean, that has actually deleted the memory of all other fetishes, certainly in the short term. No, nothing comes to mind. I mean, that's just
nothing
hideous.
Beats this one.
Oh,
see, I told you, even Faraday would think it was weird.
Whoa.
In his mind.
Why, does Gordo not think it's weird? Is that what we're trying
no,
to say?
No, I'm defending it.
Nice try.
I'm just defending it to get on George's nerves, because I knew it would short-circuit you, Georgia.
It short-circuits everybody.
You more than the rest, because you're Colonel
dude.
Dunham's kid.
Somebody said there was a fake, George. Is that right?
Like on Twitter or something?
Yeah.
There was for a while.
Yeah, there was
one. I regained my own name on Twitter.
That might be a weirder fetish.
He launched an attack. Are you on Twitter?
I have just started tweeting. In fact, I had my first trouser tweet.
What's a trouser tweet?
Well, it's like a pocket call.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Your phone tweeted something.
Something when I was in my pocket. And I'm wondering, what is pushing the buttons? You know?
Yeah, there's not any protrusions. Happen? Well, do you have like an iPhone, or are you a BlackBerry guy?
No, I have reverse polarity, so I can't use anything with a touchscreen. Instead of giving it a little charge, I actually suck it out of it. I run south to north rather than north to south.
Oh my
believe
lord!
It or not. Yeah.
You have all kinds of medical issues.
Oh, you've no idea. Yeah, well, actually, you do.
I do have some yes. idea.
Yeah. By the way, you can follow David on Twitter. He's at Fairtwit. FEHERTWIT.
Yes, I've recently... Well, I started in 2009 and didn't tweet for about 18 months because I thought, this is never going to catch on. And, well, as it happens, Not correct.
Yeah, it's big now. Does Jim Nance tweet?
Yes, he does. I think he tweets vicariously through somebody else, maybe.
He has a Twitter assistant.
He may have
an assistant twit.
Yeah.
Twististant.
An assistant twatant.
Is it true?
Okay.
Something like that.
Is it true?
Hello, friends.
You have parallel toilets in your bathroom?
Parallel toilets, yes. It's like a Cialis commercial, except my wife and I, she who must be obeyed, we sit and hold hands, and it's we're trying to pitch a commercial for a stool softener.
Gross.
Oh, man.
Well, why not? I mean, it couldn't be any more uncomfortable than the Cialis campaign. My life is turning into one long Cialis campaign. I mean, why does that happen in the bathtub and outside? You know, well, what are the neighbors looking at? It's unbelievable. Asinine, the whole thing. You know, one casual glance. No, I don't think so. Honey, you wouldn't believe what's happened to me. Yeah, it's just that's exactly where you need it. So in the bathtub, outside.
Take us back to your idea for you and your wife. You're going to invent a product that shows you guys sitting on the toilet together?
Well, no. It's
they have parallel toilets.
Parallel toilets?
Well, we have two toilets in our... I have mine, and she has hers. They're actually facing each other.
But in one bathroom?
Yeah, but there's a bath in between, and walls and stuff. Like, they're separate little rooms. But I thought if you mounted them...
So it's like his hell room and her hell room.
Exactly. Well, I don't know if hers is a hell room or not. I know mine is. Yeah. Although I find it quite pleasant.
What does that mean?
Well, just, you know, being on the toilet and all that sort of stuff.
I don't mind it either. It
doesn't bother me at all.
I don't mind it either. It's an
escape.
Stop
the music. What's being talked about?
You can read.
Bring that up this weekend, too.
No, it's a great getaway.
Ask Jim Nance if he likes to be on the toilet.
No, I don't think I'll go there either. But, yeah, it's... I once checked into a hotel in... what's that place that had made the movie from up in...
That's awfully
the
generic.
One Paul Bunyan is there. The giant...
Fargo.
Fargo. Yeah, in Fargo. And there were two toilets.
In your hotel room?
Beside each other. In the bathroom.
That's weird. One wasn't a bidet.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That's the first thing I thought. Well, that's a bidet. No, two cisterns. The whole lot. You know, you could upper deck both sides if you wanted. And the roof had been torn off. As well, they'd had a tornado the night before, and this is my room. It was massive. It was about the size of a tennis court. And part of the roof had been... It was at Madden's Resort. Because I remember it reminded me of John in Fargo. And the roof, you could see this. It was a two-star hotel. You could see both of them through the roof. I thought, this is good. You know, I've got two toilets in here, and I'm going to get raped by a bear in the middle of the night. Because it's just
bear open. Meaning the animal.
Yes. Yeah. What other kind of bear?
Oh, you don't know that one either?
No, I don't.
Big husky guys with beards who are gay as all get out?
You've just described yourself.
All right, I got to get out of the way for David here, right?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, the corner is over.
The corner is over.
That was just horrifying, Stanley Thornton.
That was, yes, his name is Stanley Thornton. He's an adult baby.
Horrifying.
Yeah, watch the video. It's on my Twitter feed. My Twitter name is at Gordon Keith.
I have the sneaking suspicion that somehow I am paying for that as well.
Oh, the Social Security bill?
Federal taxes.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You're thinking about that.
Am I?
Yeah.
Am I financing that?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And that's something. All right, that's the corner. It is 9:31 on the ticket. David Faraday stays with us here in studio. We'll talk a little golf coming up next.
No, I'm done now.
Oh, man. That's solid.
Fitness show.
And still joining us in studio from CBS Golf, it's the great David Faraday. On his way out to the Colonial, the Texas Two-Step Colonial and the Nelson.
Yay, best friend.
And David is nice enough to stop by here and join us in studio.
Oh, who are you kidding? Really? Nice enough? You guys have photographs of me, so the reason I'm here.
Well, we're going to talk about the PGA Tour and the local tournaments and Tiger and all of that. But first, I want to talk about your show, which debuts in June on the Golf Channel. It's primetime June 17th, I believe you said?
I think it's the 20th. It's 20th? The Monday after the U.S. Open, Junior. Yeah.
So tell us about this. The David Faraday Show, is that the title?
It's just called Faraday with a question mark. no, really. And it's pretty accurate because I don't know why it's going to be on television, to be honest with you. It's an interview-based show. There's an interview in two segments and then... a few bits. We're going to try some things and see what the reaction is to them, if I still have a job and stuff like that. I've got, there's a Scottish character, Hamish McGregor, who answers the rules questions from viewers and readers.
You know, and he has only two rules, the original two rules. You know, you play the ball as it lies and the course as you find it. And those were the original two rules in golf. And that's right. Why there were so many clubs invented. You know, the rutting iron for playing out of wheel ruts and, you know, irons with holes in them to play out of water and stuff like that. And he blames the English for changing the rules. So it's sort of like Braveheart, except he's permanently drunk.
Yeah. And you're going to have, like, star power on this stuff, too, right? You're going to go around and interview people? And
yes. I've done a number of interviews already. I'll be in Miami next week with Charles Barkley. Lee Trevino is going to let me mow his lawn, or vice versa. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but I'm really looking forward to that one. Lee doesn't do a whole lot of interviews, and he's a very, very interesting man, and a very important man, I think, especially here in Texas. You know, the culture is, in so many ways, that there are a lot of Latinos here that have no representation, that do much of the work, and they need people like Lee Trevino as heroes. You know, that's what can happen in this country. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Mm-hmm. All right, Faraday on the Golf Channel, middle of June, prime time. Sounds like it's going to be a good venture for you.
Well,
keeping you busy, though, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I just have not stopped working. And until this point, I haven't started working. So it is.
It's a shock to the system.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm like a donkey looking at a new gate.
And you're working this weekend, Golf Channel coverage the first couple of days, and then CBS takes over for the weekend coverage of Colonial.
Hello, friends.
Hello, friends will be here. It's the Texas two-step. You know, I always assume that the tour players loved coming here for these couple of weeks because it's Dallas-Fort Worth, and it's kind of exciting, and the weather's nice, and the gallery's good-looking and all of that. Is it still near the top of their list when you get outside of the majors as tournaments that they really want to come to, or is it just kind of with the group of every other tournament now?
Well, we've got a couple of weeks where you can stay in the same place and play, which is an advantage. But I don't think that either tournament has depreciated in value, certainly. But the rest of the tour has kind of come up. Mm-hmm. We're playing a lot of great golf courses now. We didn't used to. And that's really the determining factor, the strength of the field. If you get a great golf course, you always, always get a great field. Look at Quail Hollow, relatively new tournament. Fantastic golf course. And it gets, you know, one of the best fields of the year. So, I mean, they've done a fantastic job out at the HP Baron Nelson. The golf course out there is outstanding. It really is, compared to the way it used to be. I couldn't believe that they did such a good job on it. And at Colonial, it's one of those older venues that has kind of, in one sense, it's sort of gone past its sell-by date, not quite as relevant as it was, but it does appeal to a different kind of player in the Hilton Head sort of way. Harbour Town is a similar test in that you've got to put it in the right place and you've got to be a technician. So, it is Colonial. So mm-hmm. it has a nice ring to it, and it's one of those ones that you want to win mm-hmm. as well. But, you know, I mean, they're both great tournaments and deserve great respect. Anything that carries Baron Nelson's name, you know, the HP is very important.
Yeah, and I guess it's just because we have a bias. We know the story of Colonial, and we know the story of the Salesmanship Club and Byron's legacy and all that. I just wish that there was something the PGA Tour could do to where this was not an issue about who's in town and who's not.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we've suggested before that, hey, the NFL teams get a schedule, and they're not necessarily happy about every place they have to play either. There ought to be just, if Fincham ever did something like that, okay, a few guys may revolt, but wouldn't it be good for the game?
I don't think there's anything wrong with a little revolting, to be honest with you. I think, the PGA Tour players should actually go on strike against themselves. It would just be funny. Apart from anything else.
Yeah, everyone else is having labor to squeeze.
Yeah, but that's the issue. There is no labor here. They're independent contractors, so it would be so difficult to do that. And I know what you're saying, make it compulsory to play certain events. It's as much a perception problem as it is anything else. The field at the Nelson, at the HP, is going to be superb. We have the greatest crop of youngsters. Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, we got Ryo Ishikawa, we got Manicero is what? He's like 11. It's getting to the stage where there'll be a sperm whacking around an unfertilized egg in a womb.
Oh,
you know, we'll televise it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're getting younger and younger. 30 used to be young to win a major. Now, if you don't have one by the time you're drinking age, it's your
something's wrong.
Something going on.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about Tiger Woods. David Faraday joining us here in studio. He had the setback last week. He had to pull out of the Players' Championship. The injuries, the knee, the Achilles, whatever it is that something he's always going to battle from here on out, or do you think he can get past this?
You know, for a right-handed player, Junior, that left knee is just such a bad injury to have. It absorbs all the shock. You know, all your speed dissipates into that that shock absorber there, and you know he generates more speed and more shock than most players. That's for sure. So yeah, I think he is, and I'm genuinely worried about this. He's had such a big impact in the game. You can see the younger players now that are coming through that grew up with Tiger Woods setting the bar. The standard is now so incredibly high. So I think his legacy is going to stay intact. Certainly as a player, you know, he's made as much of a difference to the game as anyone in history. And I'm not sure that he can get to that incredible record of Nicklaus's now. I don't know that he can. Mm-hmm. With these injuries, if he gets healthy and the next time he plays well, he'll win by 12. I promise you that. Mm-hmm. If he manages to play well ever again, he will win by an absolute bucket load because he is that good, and we've kind of forgotten about that.
No one really knows what he's going through. Do you think there was any part of last week as a shot 42 and it's just not worth it to gut this out? You think it was all pain and
he has
physical
none of that
discomfort?
In him.
Yeah,
none of that in him. In fact, if there was any way that he could have got around without showing it, if he'd managed to, I've seen him hide a limp before and be very secretive about whatever injury it is that he has. Just he doesn't want to admit any kind of vulnerability at all. So for him to do that, I mean, he is bad. He's in bad shape.
Do you think at all he's pressing a little too much right now in terms of the schedule? You know, he doesn't ever want to miss a major.
It's almost impossible not to.
Yeah, and so do you think the thought of just taking 6 months and getting completely healthy in the knee, in the mind, whatever else, does that ever come up, or do you think he's so obsessed with getting there to start majors that maybe he's pressing the schedule?
You know, the longer I survive, the more I figure out that it's not about money or anything else. It's about the time you have left, and that's the issue for him. He's looking at the however many majors he has left mm-hmm. in order to get to that one record that he really, really wants. And for him to miss the U.S. Open, for instance, would feel like missing 10. So and part of the problem is, you know, yeah, he can chip, he can putt, but how do you practice? How do you get your long game sharp? And if you don't drive the ball well, the U.S. Open, forget it. So, I mean, if ever he were going to miss one or wait a few weeks, waiting a few months, he's already done that once. So this would feel like an eternity to him, I imagine. And as Giorgio says, nobody knows how he feels. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever been where he's been or fallen as far as he has, you know, the perception of as far as he's fallen, we can only imagine it. So the level of frustration is probably equally, exponentially just horrifying.
It almost makes you think that a layoff would be the thing to do. Unless you're not, 100%, if you're not 100%, then just don't go.
It would show a tremendous amount of confidence in himself if he were to take the rest of the year off, and if indeed that would get him healthy. I don't know how bad this is. The bottom line, I think the end game is, do you replace the knee? Is that the way to get it right? Because he's now had multiple operations on this one knee, and how many times do you try to fix it? I don't know.
Yeah, time off may be no guarantee. He may feel great after 6 months and then tweak it on a weird swing.
That's why it would be such a courageous decision.
Did you have a hot sports opinion about the Queen visiting Ireland?
You know, I only heard that. I'm not a huge. I respect the royal family. The royal wedding thing. Somebody shoot me now.
Really? You didn't watch it?
Oh, watch it? You would have had to pay me. It's one of those things. That's what I want to do. Is get up at 4 a.m. to watch some chinless geek. You know, the last useful thing a member of the British royal family did was abdicate to marry an American. I mean, that's fine, and they do a good job at what they do and all the rest, but please, enough already. There's important things going on here. We're at war. We got Marines and soldiers and sailors and airmen dying, on a daily basis, and we're watching No, really? I just drive you crazy.
Did you like the costumes and the romance of it?
I like ice skating. I love the sequins, the glitter, the kiss and cry, and that's just the man. But no, I don't. I do love the household cavalry, the mounted guys, you know, with the busbies and all that stuff. You know, that's nice. Well, okay, so I saw the household cavalry. I'm done here.
You know, I actually thought about you when the news came down about Bin Laden, because I remember talking to you not too long ago. Well, it may have been about a year ago or so.
I'm just thinking, why would you think of me?
Well,
why is he remind you of Bin Laden?
No, I'll tell you why. Because you've been over there before to Iraq, and you've taken a really strong role in supporting the military. And you told me that you thought that they would eventually get him just because of the technology that they have, the intellect that they have, and things like that. And when they did finally get him, I bet it didn't surprise you too much that they finally got him.
Well, no. I think one of the most stunning thing about it was, and nobody mentioned, what an achievement it was for him to have stayed loose for so long.
Yeah.
I mean, they are listening, believe me. Giorgio, I mean, they probably know what you're talking about right now. Which is more than any of the rest.
Hope they were listening to 9:15.
Yeah, really. And do something about Stanley Thornton. Yeah, never mind Bin Laden. That's worse. Right. Yeah, almost. No, it's not. But, it's an amazing achievement. And Team 6, you know, that went in, that was a mixed team. I believe it's not just Navy SEALs. There are all kinds of spec ops guys in there, you know, Air Force, Army, they're Rangers, they're Marines, you know, that'll usually be a part of a group like that, you know, when Delta Force kind of split into two. And, you know, that's what they do. They weren't surprised. All this adulation and all the rest, you know, they do that stuff every day. They go in on these missions that we don't even hear about. The fact that we heard about this one was just we got the head guy. I mean, they are unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. They've got huge egos, which they should have. You have to have a high opinion of yourself to do what they do. And thank God for them. That's all I can say, looking after idiots like us, making sure that the least that we can do is to make sure that they have a great country to come home to.
And part of that is a great game of golf, which will be on CBS this weekend and the Golf Channel for the next couple of days. And we'll watch you out there, Colonial. Thanks for coming by today.
Don't watch me. Just listen.
Yeah. Okay, we won't watch.
I'm going to be at home. I'm not going.
I'm just going to do it from your living room. All right, David, have a good weekend. That's the great David Faraday, ladies and gentlemen, from CBS Sports. We'll check in on North.